Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Apostle Dr. with the ministry, along with the life support of our church and our prayer room ministry. I'm delighted tonight to be back on radio. God, all the praise and all the glory. I'm ready to just have a short devotion. I give him reverence. Who is he? My apostle Denise and his absence. And to each one of you, my brothers, I just thank and praise God for this opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast. We're going to be reading from Psalms 24. In a prayer. Tell us sin in the heels of the have not lived his soul into my soul. I say, and even lift them up, who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. We're going to
so give me you, I hope I'm not too late.
Can everyone hear me? Is it static in your phone?
Yes, it's a little static. You going in and out.
I wonder why is that.
You all want me to call back? I will go back in and you all call me again? Because I want you to be able to hear this. Hello?
I mean, we can. It shouldn't hurt nothing.
Do you all want me to recall again? Do you hear me? Because I don't want
you
to think
good,
I just
man.
Hung up. Huh?
I can hear you good, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear
all
you
right.
Much better now.
Okay. Okay. All right, well, we're going to get ready to, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come tonight, God, just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I come tonight, God, asking you to just let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, just take control, Holy Spirit, take control tonight. I ask you to just bless our minds tonight. Open them up so we can receive your word and understand your word on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, search our heart, our minds, and our spirit. If there's anything in there that should not be, I ask you to remove it right now. Create in us a clean heart on tonight, God. Renew a right spirit and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, and I bind the strong man tonight. I bind up the strong men right now, God. I bind up the strong men. Hallelujah. I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock. I bind up every psychic, every demon on assignment. I bind up right now. I cast you out. I command you to go. In the mighty name of Jesus, go now from our lives. Go now from this radio broadcast. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. and for your glory, Father. Amen, amen. Amen means so let it be. Amen. So I'm glad that worked out well because just all kind of stuff been happening. You would not believe it, but it's all right. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Amen. I'm going to start reading at Deuteronomy chapter 19. Let me get this big Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 19. When the Lord, thy God, shall cut off the nations whose land the Lord, thy God, giveth thee, and succeedeth them, and dwelleth in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the woods with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helm and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee into one of those cities and live. Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he hated him not in time, let me see, in time past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee, and if the Lord thy God and Lord thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee besides these three. Thou that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. But if any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally, that he die, and flee into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, and they of old times have said in thy inheritance, and thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. One witness shall not rise up against a man from any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses, three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the man between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judge, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent in question, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shall thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eyes shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. Oh, my Lord. Amen.
Chapter 20. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that has planted a vineyard and has not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto the house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that has betrothed a wife and has not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributary unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God have delivered it unto thine hand, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the woman and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far out from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doeth give thee for an inheritance. thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Okay. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Merizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that they teach you not to do all, not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their God. So should ye sin against the Lord your God, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time and make in war against it to take it. Thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the besiege, in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that thou be not trees for me, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's get right to our questions. The first question is, what were the cities of refuge? What were the cities of refuge in verse number 4? For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against the Lord. Eh? Oh, I'm reading 20. Oh. And this is the case of a slayer, of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, and when a man goeth into the woods with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetches a stroke which acts to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helm and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. So what he's basically saying is, if you kill somebody in violence, you can run to one of those cities and live. So that's what he actually is saying. If a man who have unwittingly killed a person could flee to a city of refuge, this would save him from mob action or from the action of some hot-headed relative who might be emotionally wrought up at the time. And in a city of refuge, he would be protected until a fair trial could be held, because sometimes things happen, but I don't think no thing don't slip off the axe and cut somebody's throat like that. But, you know, they were just giving an example to what could happen. You know, and if it did happen, God was making that that's a place that they could go to just be safe, okay? The next question is, what was God's rule for capital punishment? What was his rule for capital punishment?
His rule.
What was his
rule? His rule for capital punishment.
A try somewhere down there between 11 and 14, I think, somewhere in there. Let me see. Okay, yeah, 12. But I'm going to start at 11. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and flee into one of these cities, then the elder of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hands of the avenger of blood that he may die. So to me, what he's saying is if anyone kills someone intentionally, he is to die also. Mm-hmm. He is to die also. Let me see if I can get some more on that. It's just a law and a rule that they had made. And this is like to protect. It was just the law made to protect them and their property, you know, from people that do that because, you know, anything could happen. And they had to have something. You just couldn't go around just killing just because you want to kill and nothing happened to you. So that's why they made that law. And the city of refuge, they know to run to the city of refuge. Mm-hmm. Amen. So the questions in chapter 20 are, anyone else want to talk about that? Okay. Chapter 20. What three things kept a man from going into battle? Let me see. Look there. Between 5 and 7, I think. Mm-hmm. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that have built a new house and have not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that have planted a vineyard and have not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto the house, his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that have betrothed a wife and have not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. So the three things that keep a man from going to battle, it's right there. It's if you have a new house, you done planted a vineyard, and are you engaged to be married, he should not go to battle, lest someone else take over his place. Those are the three things right there. So did the armies of war want a faint-hearted person? Well, you know, who wants somebody that don't want to, or, you know, you sometimes you be weak, but when you in a battle, you don't want no weak-hearted person, no faint-hearted person, because he can rub off on others, and all of them be weak and dead when you in battle like that. You know, I mean, sometimes, I mean, you don't know whether they're weak or not when you recruit them. But if you know they weak and see somebody trying to shoot you and they ain't going to shoot them, they don't want them. And that's just, you don't want that in a battle. Okay. What was Israel to first step in taking over a city outside the land of Canaan?
Can you repeat that, Apostle?
See, what was Israel to first step in? What was the first step for Israel taking over a city outside of the land of Canaan? Let me try to find it. The first step that they should do.
Was it 17 where they were to utterly destroy them before they stepped into the land of Canaan?
Well, yeah, but they first go on do
is
what?
Verse,
when you
is
first
verse 10, when thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then
had to have peace first, proclaim peace of it. That's right. And then you take it and you do what you have to do. You know when you go somewhere, you have to go in peacefully first. And if they don't do it, then mm-hmm. that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You take it because God has told you to take it. Mm-hmm. What could the Israelites keep from a city they had plundered? When they take over a city, you see, what do they keep for themselves? You know, like you go in and you fight and you kill all the men, then what's left?
It's verse 14. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof shall thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of our enemies, which the Lord thy God has given thee.
Absolutely. When you take over a city, they could keep the women, children, and livestock for themselves. Who were the Israelites to utterly destroy and why?
Verse 17, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have been unto the dead. So shall ye sin against the Lord your God.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's good. See, there might be a man who very frankly say, I am a coward. That's that one that when you're talking about somebody being weak, faint-hearted. I am afraid to fight, and I do not want to fight. So here are four good reasons for a man not to go into war. I mean, if you weak, don't do it. Don't do it. If a man is afraid, faint-hearted, fearful, you can't be fighting nobody. And back then, I don't know if they trained them men or not. You just don't know. But if you got somebody saying, I don't want to fight, I want to, just like they did on the other side of Jordan, two of those tribes said, let us stay over here. We don't want to go in the land full with milk and honey. And they said, we'll let you go only if when it's time for battle, you leave your children and your wives and stuff at home and come battle, then you go back. That's what they were saying. And they said, okay, that it wasn't because they was afraid, or it wasn't because they was faint-hearted or fearful. They just didn't want to their children and their wives and stuff to be hurt and taken if something happened to them. But you see, 10 and 12. And another great principle which is laid down, let me see. God has to put down some very good principles here in order for them to, wait a minute, to want to, my Bible. So he had to put down some pretty good principles for them to have a city of refuge. You know, even over in the eastern nations, if you kill somebody over there, it's like an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You're going to die, or you're going to get your hand cut off, your something going to get hurt back then. And still sometime today, used to, if you killed a man for so many days, you have to have that man tied onto you, drag him around and stuff like that. I done heard all kind of stuff. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what was said to me. I don't really know, but it's not in the Bible, nothing like that. But that's what they were saying. If you kill somebody over there, you get something cut off on you, or something like that. But that's what they were saying, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a foot for a foot. What? But in Israel, they tell you to run to the city of refuge, and because you may be able to hide there and stay there until you can get a trial and have a trial and stuff. Because if you don't go there, one of the relatives may get you and kill you and stuff like that if you did not intentionally kill somebody. But if you intended to kill somebody, you're going to die too. You got to give it up. But those were the laws back then. They had to have some kind of law. Some kind of law. So, let me see. So, even, you know, in the land of Canaan, you know, they always said it wasn't nothing good in Canaan. Y'all know that. But they just got in this land, and they still taking some of the cities in this land, you know, because it was all, they was all serving false gods and committing abomination against God and stuff in the cities that was in there. So he was sending the Israelites, God was sending the Israelites to take it over and fight and take it over. And he said he would be with them while they fight. So that means they was going to win and take all the women, the children, the cattle, whatever was left. But they killed all the men. And that's what the tribe, I think, of Gad, and there was another tribe and a half tribe of Manasseh. They wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan so they wouldn't have to do that, but they did have to fight. So that's why God sent them in there to take the land, because the Canaanites had just messed up the land. That land right there was the land flowing with milk and honey, but they had served idol gods. They had did all kind of stuff in that land in Canaan, and just messed it up. And so he was letting the Israelites take the land that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back. And that's why they were in Canaan, where those Canaanite people were. Do we have any questions or comments? And then he was saying, and what man is he that planted a vineyard and have not yet eaten of it? Or let him also go and return to his wife, to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And that's what those tribes that stayed on the other side of Jordan was talking about. Hey, we don't want our children and our wives and our livestock and stuff to be taken if something happens to us. That's what they were saying. But he's saying that right here, the Lord was letting them know that if you got that, you should return home. You should do what you have to do. And I guess that's how it started for some, I guess, just like it is now. Because, I mean, you could sign up for the Army, but they recruit you after so many years, or sometimes they don't recruit like that. But that's a hard thing to leave your children and your wife to go fight, and then they don't never come back. Or if they engage to be married, then some other man get everything. And the Lord was just trying to tell them they need to just go back home and plant their vineyard and be with their fiance until they get married and stuff like that. That's something. I know I would want my husband to go off and get killed, and here I am left here all by myself. No, no, no. So it's a good. These are two good chapters. I mean, we don't have a lot of questions on them, you know, because we just trying to make sure that you get one or two good things out of each chapter that you can remember. So when we do go back over this, because we will come back around, we're going to go on through the whole Bible and we're going to come back around to this. But we're taking our time to try to make sure that everybody understand what they read. Everybody understand, you know, a little bit about something. Like chapter 19 was about the cities of refuge, the intent of the land, and the extremity of the law. Chapter 19 and chapter 20 is basically about laws regulating warfare. So they regulate it when they tell you, you know, if you got this, this, and this, these are reasons you shouldn't go to battle. Those reasons right there. And that's what it was in chapter 20, reasons that you shouldn't go to battle. They regulating the warfare. That's what they were doing here. And so it's good, you know, and I can understand it, you know, because you don't want to have your home and stuff and you bought it and then you just get married and go to battle, and then you die. You know, you got your wife left, and if y'all been married a few years, you got children too. And you got livestock, and you got your vineyard. So that's a lot of what's going on here. And we wouldn't want that to happen to our husband or our fiance. No. So God is letting us see his compassion side, his loving side, because he'll whoop your butt, but he love us so much. So yeah, any questions or comments?
I guess what I'm trying to do is relate it to how we should respond in this day. Looking at what they did back then, you know, I can see some principles. When they were talking about the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but some of it I'm just not clear. You know, because of the way I look at it, it's like trying to relate it on how I'm supposed to act or think or do and treat fellow man, people, family, or whatever now in relating to what
right.
the word said back then.
Right.
So the city of refuge, I'm not really sure how to put it in the context of now. Like, how do I relate to that?
Well,
because we don't
city
have
of refuge. Right. But we do have, we can get a fair trial right now. But back then, if somebody, if you kill somebody, you didn't have the police to come, but you better run. Because if one of their relatives caught you, you was going to die or something. But if you go to the city of refuge, you're kind of protected there, and you're there until you get a fair trial. So you can get a fair trial. So back then they didn't have police and stuff. You know, I know they had somebody. I don't know who, though. But they, I mean, they had the Lord, and they had, like, Moses. You know what I'm saying? They had Joshua, whoever is leading them. That's who they had. And then he, up under him, he had some leaders, some judges and stuff to try to handle that. But until they could get to where they are or where they were, they had to run to the cities of refuge. That's why God made them, so they could go there and be safe until they could get a fair trial or a fair hearing.
Okay.
And today, we got police that we call, and they'll make sure.
Okay, thank you. I could see better now.
Well, I mean, because it's the Old Testament, a lot of stuff, I mean, there is nothing new under the sun. So everything that's happening in the Word of God is still happening. This Word of, if we apply this Word to our life right now, somewhere in this Word of God, it'll come right up. A lot of things come up. Because when I was reading, it says this man had had a, if he had a stroke in his arm. Now, this way back in the Old Testament, how they know about stroke? You know, and but that's what it said. If it had a stroke and the top part of the axe fly off. So that was meaning that if his arm gave out or he had a muscle spasm or whatever, it's close to a stroke, but they say a stroke. So it relates real close. Sometimes you just have to really pay attention to what it's saying, and because you don't think it would say stroke. You know what I'm saying? So, or they knew about a stroke back then, but they did. It definitely said it. So that's something right there. And then that's probably why they started letting people sign up for the army and stuff like that, because it was, and back then they didn't have what we have now. You know, they had to really war with swords and stuff like that, and bow and arrows and stuff like that. They didn't have guns and stuff in those days. So if you get hit, you dead. You know, you dead. You get cut with a sword, your leg gonna fall off, or hand or whatever. He said, 9 for 9, 2 for 2, a foot for a foot. I'm telling you, that's something, you know, to go through. But, you know, God knows, because if we was back there in that day, we probably wouldn't be able to stand that or take that, But the people that could, that's who was there. Now we here, and we have people coming on, and just like in our parents' day when they had all them slaves and all that, who could stand that? I probably would have got shot in the back running because I wasn't finna do what masters they do. You see what I'm saying? So I probably couldn't have took that. Somebody probably, one of them might have would have shot my husband in the back. You know what I'm saying? They did us really bad. And that was in that time. And the people that was there was the only ones that would probably be able to take that kind of stuff. Now, just like a whole lot of stuff going here today in the world, that stuff that we never thought would ever happen, ever, is happening. And the older people that's older than my generation, they probably just don't know what to think. How could this happen? How could this be? But, you know, the Lord knows. And when he get tired of this, when he get tired, he gonna come back. That's why he allowing a lot of this stuff to happen that's happening, because he's definitely trying to get our attention. Definitely trying to get our attention. And we're just not paying attention. We thinking about everything else, governors and races and politics and all this stuff. When the earth is falling apart, it's falling apart. It literally is falling apart, and we're not seeing it. And I really believe, you know, even for today, and we shouldn't worry about stuff like this, but it's so many things happening, and people just think, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. We shouldn't even be concerned about that. We need to be praying for God's protection over us and our families. That's what we need to be praying, because God say we in this world, but we're not of the world. We're not of this world. This not our home. So he's not going to let them destroy this the earth, because he made the earth. He's not going to let them destroy this earth. Believe me. But when he gets tired, he's going to come back, and it's not long from now. Really, it's not. And so it's a lot of things, you know, that we can relate to here. But I think we just should be praying. And we have to put it to today's, we have to apply it to today's life. Why is this lady calling me? Wait a minute. Yeah, we have to try, and that's the most important thing, is trying to apply it to what's happening today, because it's gonna all coincide here in a minute. A lot of it is, and if you kind of put yourself where they are in that time, that's how you do it right here. Because I just can't see myself fighting with no sword and no bow and arrow and all that kind of stuff, you know, and. And because these men, a lot of them was right there with Moses and Aaron and the priests, the Levites and stuff like that, and all of the tribes and stuff. And so it's you know, you have to, that's something that they didn't wrote about their lives and stuff like that. Wonder would somebody ever write about what we went through. You know what I'm saying and stuff. It's something. I think about that a lot, because we don't really feel like I think that we're going through anything, and we are, because the stuff that's happening now, it's like prophecy coming to pass. It's like prophecy. Mm-hmm. But we don't realize it, but we're going to see a lot of this in the New Testament. This just the Old Testament. Without the Old Testament, couldn't be a New Testament. So this leading up to Jesus. Just this stuff just leading up to Jesus, to the Savior. Any more questions or comments? Amen. Well, I'm not going to hold you. We're going to, on Thursday, we're going to be on 21 and 22, Deuteronomy. And if you all get some time, y'all can just look over it a little bit. We don't have a whole lot of questions, maybe 8 to 10 questions most of the time. But if we read it, and most of the time in your Bible, you have references beside the verses and read those references, some of them in the New Testament and some of them in the Old Testament, but some of them in the New Testament, and it will explain to you what's going on, because over here in Deuteronomy chapter 19, like verse 18, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1, and it's got other stuff. Most of that's in the Old Testament, but if you look at your references besides those verses, it'll tell you, you know, it'll give you some more insight on what's going on and how it was derived, what it was derived from. Amen. So we can get ready to close out. I really enjoyed it. I mean, because God always make a way. He always have a way of escape for us. You know, when especially when he can see our heart, and he knew anybody that wasn't trying to do it, he made a way of escape for him. And somebody that intentionally did this thing, kill somebody, you're going to give it up. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, foot for a foot. That's what he was saying. So, So, anyway, we're going to get ready to get off. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, God. Just thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for opening up our understanding, God. We just thank you, Lord, for letting that word be on the tablets of our heart, the tables of our heart, God. In the name of Jesus, we just give you glory and praise on tonight. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice and their families. Father, I ask you to encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Cover the vehicles that they drive. Cover the houses that they in, Lord. In the name of Jesus, just bless, Lord. Send angels forth, God, and activate them on their behalf. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you for this word, God. We bless you for this word, God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all. I will be looking forward on Thursday night at the same time and tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. I will be on the Facebook Live with our morning wake-up call, prayer time. Amen. So God bless you all. You all have a blessed and wonderful night. Amen. See you in the morning by the grace of God.
I love you. Good night.
Good night. Love you too. Amen.